Look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, folks, to this final hour of the Hagman Hagman Report, taking your calls right now on Open Line Wednesday. Whatever's on your mind, kind of focusing on Islam as it is a threat to the United States, and in particular the shooting in Orlando at the homosexual nightclub. Got an email, numerous emails about tonight's show, one from Bob and Maggie, two great, wonderful people, Bob, long-time law enforcement. Maggie writes this, I felt God tell me, do not fear the future. I am already there waiting for you. Total peace flooded my heart. You know, that's exactly how we should feel. We should feel at peace, even in the world of chaos, even in the chaos that surrounds us, because we know, in our Christian walk, in our Christian faith, we know that, we know that God, we know where we're going. I mean, if you don't, then you need to hit your knees tonight and do a lot of praying. But see, we can't approach this with unrighteousness. We have to be righteously angry, and I think we have the basis for that. Another email I want to read here, and a lot of people are in this camp. And if you are, don't worry. This from Lisa. And I'm just going to paraphrase her very quickly. Lisa writes this, I'm very awake. But my husband, my family, they're asleep as to what's going on today. What do you do? What do you do? That's the gist of it. You know, she writes that, I'm very awake as to what's going on today. I've been listening to your show for many months. I look forward to listening after work. I've been watching the false flags and the ongoing activity with other disturbing activity going on across the United States. You know, I attempt on many occasions to speak with my husband to get him to be aware and online with my knowledge so that we together can make plans in case of the worsening U.S. events, but he becomes very upset, hostile, and does not want to listen. Well, you know, we have that same problem here. Don't think that everything is rosy here either. Now, my wife, you know, she was slow to come to the realization, kind of like I was with Steve Quayle. I mean, you asked Steve Quayle, hey, how was Doug back, you know, when you first met him? And he'll tell you he was such a moron. And I admit that, okay? I mean, really, I didn't get it. I was a moron. I was an idiot. Bullheaded. At some point, it takes, in my view anyway, it takes something hitting close to home. It doesn't have to be a 9/11. It doesn't have to be a shooting like this. In my view, it's gonna take a very compassionate, very loving, and very persistent effort on your part, Lisa, and others, with family members. Now, if you care about a person, I always say the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. Because if you really didn't love someone, why even bother? Really, why bother talking with them or trying to help them? Just blow them off. Do what I do with email. Delete the emails that are, you know, the ones that have in the subject line is, you know, F you. All right. I know by opening it, I'm not going to get, you know, a loving message. So, okay. Delete. My delete button's worn out, by the way. But see, okay, and folks, I'd like to hear from you if you were in that position as well, and you I'd like to hear success stories or how you got your family member to change, to go from, well, you're full of beans, man, you're nuts, you're crazy, things are fine, the economy is great, and were you in that position? Even if you yourself, I mean, me, it took me a very persistent and very loving Steve Quayle to say, hey, Doug, look, here are the facts. Now, from our investigative position, Joe and mine, and even Joe, I frustrated him tremendously. I'm good. Let me tell you something. You know, ladies, if I was single, you would not want to be married to me, all right, because I'm a piece of work. Just ask my wife. Man, is he a piece of work? Because I'm bullheaded. I really am. So it takes a loving patience, and it takes a persistence. It takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of effort. But I think change from Joe, and help me out on this too, I think change comes from within. I don't think you can convince anyone of anything if they are so bullheaded that they tune you out. Just don't think you're going to convince them. I think it's going to come from the person that you're talking to. It's going to have to come from within their deep souls. Mm-hmm. You know, pray. I mean, I pray. And if we're not praying, by the way, if you're not right now, in light of the shooting massacre, and in light of the actions of the renegade, the Muslim in chief in the White House, and the lawmakers, and now some of the conservative, so-called conservative media, folding and saying, "Yeah, we need gun control." If you're not concerned, then you're not paying attention, or you're a moron, like I was. You can't fix stupid. I mean, and I'm not saying this to be mean, but really, there's sometimes you just can't argue. You can't debate. I don't know what else to say. But Lisa, don't lose hope. And people in that position, don't lose hope. Do what you gotta do. And if you have to be the leader in your family, then do that. Because there may come a time, even if you have to, without the consent, I don't want to say without the knowledge, but I don't, it depends on what kind of marriage you have. I mean, my wife and I, for example, we have a standing agreement that if you need to buy something for $50, so there's a cutoff there. Okay. You can do it on your own. Otherwise, it's got to be a mutual decision. I mean, it's a very low amount. So, but if with that money, maybe you can go out and buy extra provisions. Be the leader. It's tough. Be the leader. And if you're the husband in the situation, well, you've got a different role. You better be the leader. Joe.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. We're going to go to Matt in New Hampshire. Thanks for holding, Matt. You are live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Hold on. Okay. There you go, Matt.
Hey, we're new at this. Matt, are you there?
Uh, Eric, pull up the
Yeah, we might be having a little operator error issue here, or a little a computer issue on our end here.
What I'm seeing is strange that when we bring somebody on air, usually it says on air in red, but instead it says it's in blue and it has the number 2 next to it, which is strange.
You know, in response to what I said,
okay, Matt, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me now?
There we go.
All right. Now, loud and clear, man.
Oh,
it's like you're sitting right next to us.
Oh, man. Good. All right. Oh, that's great. I'm glad I'm next to you. Get a cup of coffee, Doug.
Purple stick.
Hey, in response, I started talking about that email that you had said about, and does anyone have the answer for the people that aren't awake in your family? No, but I think that the solution is, and the first thing that's on my mind that I have a bunch of post-its that I wrote notes down on and I stuck them together. The thing's about 3 foot tall now, since I've been waiting to get on air with you. But the first thing is unity in prayer amongst all the Christians, guys. And I've called in before, told you guys, full disclosure, I'm a Catholic. For example, Ted Brewer, I don't agree with some of the things that he says, but you know what? We're all Christians, and I'm not going to disparage the guy, because he's still a brother in Christ. We're both members of the body of Christ. We're all there. And Doug, you always talk about this, and you're so right. If we don't get together as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, we're going to have a bigger problem than what we already have. And this goes full circle to all of my notes, and it goes back to the nightclub, and it goes back to something else too. So the next thing, Doug, you had said, I think it was in the first hour, you were talking about how wound up this kid was and what type of a cocktail is that this kid is, you know, with the homosexual tendencies, with the Muslim, with the you know, Sharia law, having a wife, having a kid, having a father that's running for president. Are you kidding me? Right? So then you take that, mix it up with alcohol, and then you mix it up with you know, don't say, you can't say that Muslim, you can't talk about the mosque, don't investigate anything and assume anything because they're good, you know. It's insane. So my question about that, and this is rhetorical, is how many more of those people are like this guy that are out there waiting, that are ticking time bombs that maybe MK Ultra is going to set off, or that they're just, you know, they're just going to get activated by DHS and say, oh, you got to go, you know, we got something going on. And, you know, or did it even happen? Because where are the bodies? Where's the videotape from inside the nightclub? Okay? And that's one thing. So I don't know. Do you have any comments about anything so far?
I just want to echo a couple of things. Number one, you know, I have to say, look, for example, when you started out, you said that you don't agree, for example, with some things Ted Brewer says. I don't either. And Ted knows it, and we agree that we have differing opinions on certain things. That's okay. You know, I mean, so we need to understand that as Christians about, does it really matter? Does our salvation really, is that contingent upon agreeing whether, the Nephilim were, you know, or the number of,
yeah,
of the Nephilim, or, you know, it doesn't really matter. So, but in the larger sense, in the issues of salvation, do you, you know, agree? Yes, but see, you're so right. What is going to bring this, the body of the church down, I believe, is the discord from within caused by, well, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but trust me when I say there are people that are, Yeah, but they're, exactly. But they're not just henpecking or ankle biters. They are people who are acting as the accuser of the brethren, judge, jury, and at some point executioner. And we are not, I mean, these people are more than a distraction. They're problematic in a number of ways. But aside from that, we have to understand, I think we as a Christian body must understand the threats we face, the enormity of the threat that we have, and we better wake up in a real big hurry, because a lot of blood and a lot of blood will be shed and a lot of lives will be lost if we don't, and unnecessarily, needlessly. So, yes, sir, that's the only thing I wanted to say, but you're exactly right. Okay. The other thing you mentioned, the Manchurian type candidates, I do believe that there are a lot of Manchurian candidates out there. And by that, folks, look, you don't have to agree with me on this or this caller on this, but just do your homework and understand the neurolinguistic programming that we're all subject to do even now. And of course, all of the CIA, and Western intelligence programs that we have been subjected to. Understand that there's everlasting consequences from this. Numerous consequences from this, plus the Islamic cult of Islam, and I say this cult of Islam, this is me saying it, is predisposed to this type of violence. So please, folks, understand the threat and understand the enormity of it. But go ahead, sir.
No, you're exactly right. It is a cult. They're fanatics. They'll stone you. Oh well, you know, if you adultery, stone them. You know, or it's, you know, kill them. Why are you going to kill them? They're homosexual. Are you kidding? It's insane. I agree with you 100% that it's a cult. A couple of things. The last caller that was there from Massachusetts, he was talking about Boston being on the attack list, or possible cities of six that were listed for attack. Now, I live in New Hampshire. I travel down into the city all the time. And I'm very, you know, New Hampshire obviously is right on top of Massachusetts. So I grew up in Massachusetts. I have family members that still live there, but I chose to leave when Mike Dukakis was there, because it was Taxachusetts at the time when I was 18 years old, and I never looked back. I've been in New Hampshire since. But you know, I still go and down there and do things. So Sunday, Fenway Park, the Red Sox were out of town, and Fenway Park was used by Department of Homeland Security for a drill, okay, a shooter drill. And they actually brought volunteers in and had people in the park. They simulated gas. They simulated gunpowder. There's a guy, Richie from Boston, that is on YouTube that goes around. Pretty good guy, local guy. And he was being tracked down by DHS. Not only was it Homeland Security, but there was also Border Patrol was there, the Massachusetts State Police, Boston Police, the Transit Police, the Amtrak Railroad Police. Every police agency that you could come up with was there. Even New Hampshire State Police were there. So there was obviously the FBI was, you know, and it was just, so they were actually shutting him down.
Multi-agency counterterrorism exercise that included a number of agencies and personnel, yes.
Yeah, and they were actually shutting this guy down while he was walking around on the open streets videotaping what they're doing. They're telling him, you can't videotape, shut it down. He's on YouTube as Richie from Boston, if anyone wants to look for it. And he was, you know, he actually changed. He put a bandana on his head and did some other things so that they wouldn't, you know, pick on him. But anyway, so what's my feeling about that? I think that Boston is a target, and I almost think that the guy that we were talking to there from Chelsea or from Somerville, wherever he was from, may be right that there's going to be something that happens there, and I would actually look at possibly at Fenway Park. Because that's just like a cornerstone in Boston, you know what I mean? And I don't want to see that happen, but you never know. The next thing that I wanted to throw at you guys was Jay Johnson, and I don't know if you guys you guys talked about him. I missed part of the first hour. He said, flat out, gun control is a national security issue. It is now going to be under Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security. Okay? Gun control is a national security issue.
Matt, I'm so glad. People better pay attention to the statement.
That is insane, because everything that they're doing in the name of national security, oh, they're going to save us from ourselves, because Barack Obama said it's the Americans that are the terrorists in his little 2 minute and 2 second speech, that the whole thing was a 360 backwards lie about everything that he said. And that's in the name of national security. Jay Johnson is going to start going after gun control, everybody. We are, and again, this goes full circle back to what I said about Christian unity in prayer. And Christian unity, forget Christian unity, Christian patriot, believers in our country. It goes back to that, where we have to unite, not divide, because they're counting on us being divided. And if we're divided, we aren't going to do anything, and they're going to be able to do what they want. But if we stand together with the patriots, with even, you know, with the truthers, the persons of the truthers, with the Christians, the Catholics, the Baptists, the evangelicals, whoever it is, the people that believe in what we grew up. I'm 48. I grew up knowing. I remember 1976. I remember that celebration as a child, and it was the most magical day, the July 4th of 1976. It was a magical day that I'll never forget, because
bicentennial minutes.
I was in Massachusetts in Sturbridge, and there's a place out here called Old Sturbridge Village where it's a reenactment place, but they shut down the town, and you have these guys marching down the street as patriots, and it went down to the town common, and they did fireworks, and they did it was amazing. And from being there to where we are today, we've gone the wrong direction, and it's we don't have anybody else to blame but ourselves.
That's right.
And God, please help us. God, please help us. And people, Agman listeners, whether you're in Europe, if you're in Europe, support the Brit exit. Okay, support it. That has to happen. And whether you're in Australia, you know, don't give up anymore if you're guns. If you're in Canada, you know, call up the idiots that are saying that oral sex with animals is okay, and tell them no. Or if you're here in the United States, we got to start calling. Who was it? It was the of all people, Mitch McConnell. We got to start looking at the loopholes for purchasing guns for people that are on the terror watch list. Maybe that's a quote from Mitch McConnell. I just heard on the news while you guys were at commercial.
Yep.
So, you know, also, and then the one other thing, okay? So going back to winding up in this guy being a cocktail, a crazy cocktail of, you know, that's just a, and whether or not it happened, because I'm still not convinced that it happened. And Doug, I, you're an investigator. I think you know what I'm thinking or where I'm going with that or why.
Yeah, I do.
Haven't seen all the proof yet. Where's the proof? Okay. But now you take that group, that candidate, and then you mix it with how many 48 million people that are on EBT and SNAP?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Because that's a whole nother thing that's still unresolved.
Yep.
So why is that? On what, today's the 15th, right?
Okay.
So you take now. You look at where we're going. What's next month down the road from you guys, right?
Sure.
What's going on? And you know, I mean, this is where I think, right? I think that they're fanning the sparks right now. They're trying to get the flame going. And again, this goes back to the whole thing about my whole call: unity and prayer. We have to everybody's got to pray every day, harder, longer, more, asking God to protect His people, asking God to, you know. I think that we're basically too late. I think that we've turned ourselves upside down. But at the same time, I think, like what Gina was saying earlier on, that, you know, is God going to take care of His people? Yes. The people that are in grace, God's grace, He's going to help them. He's going to protect them, get through, and, you know, whatever the case is there. But we as a whole on a country, because we've done this to ourselves, we've been warned, He's taken away His blessing. You know, God's taken, God shed His grace on thee, and, you know, crown that good. He's pulled His blessing away from us. Because of
I do believe, and Joe and I were talking about this earlier, I do believe that the hedge of protection, because of our behavior, because of our submission, acquiescence into immoral behavior, the choices that we have made, to be implemented without us standing up and saying, no, you can't do that, from abortion to taking prayer out of schools, all of this. Yes, I do believe that there is a judgment factor here where God is judging us. I think it's a process. I don't think it's one and done. I think that judgment is a process, and I think we are under judgment for that, for the sins, for immorality. And I think that there will be judgment made, rendered for people who choose not to do anything, even in light of the goings on right now. So yeah, you're right,
Matt. We're gonna have to move on, but I want to thank you for your call and for the insight tonight. And you have a good night. God bless you.
Thanks, Matt.
Okay, guys. Take care, and I'll keep praying. And if everyone else do that, it'd be great.
We need to pray. Amen.
Absolutely. Have a good night.
Good night, guys.
All right.
Good point. I mean, you know, that's at the heart of all of this. Pray as Christians and unify.
All right. Eric, I don't know if I have any control.
Yeah,
over
Eric, why don't we just pop? We got surprise us,
tweet.
Eric.
Tweet. California.
Let's tweet something out. By the way, Twitter. Twitter ought to be ashamed of themselves. Twitter, you should be ashamed of yourself. Facebook, you should be ashamed of yourself. These morons from Silicon Valley that run this, these intellectually deficit morons, spiritually bankrupt people. I mean, come on. You are censoring the truth, but I digress.
We'll go to Rachel in Illinois. Thanks for holding.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Rachel. Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Thanks, guys, for taking my call. I just wanted to say God bless you for your bravery, and I'm just so appreciative of everything that you guys do. I have a couple of quick little questions here. I just wanted to know if you guys had heard about the DHS.gov website issued a statement today stating that starting tomorrow through November 15th, we are now on a global threat advisory. And be alert to increased law enforcement presence and security in your areas. Did you guys see this today?
No.
Joe FEMA,
did, yeah.
The FEMA you doing the preparing for some kind of event taking place. Training, yeah.
I don't know if that's the same thing that I saw today or not, but it was like DHS.gov that they're doing something between tomorrow and November 15th. To be alert to, like, more law enforcement presence in your areas. So I thought, here we go, martial law, it's coming down. But maybe I'm repeating something that you guys have already said today.
I am looking on this.
No, okay.
This is separate from what I have seen earlier today.
Yeah, we're not sure. Rachel, Go ahead and explain more of this, because this is a different type or different iteration of what we're seeing here. So if you want to explain this again.
Sure. Let me pull this up. I have it right here. Sorry, guys. You need to pull this up. Okay. DHS.gov.
Right.
It says, let me see here. Issued June 15th, expires November 15th, 2016. Are you guys seeing that?
Okay, yeah, we have it right here.
There's a one-page PDF.
Yes.
And, yes, the details here, it's a U.S. government counterterrorism effort.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Right.
DHS and FBI.
I'm not sure if you guys had seen that or not. I've never seen anything like that before.
And thank you for pointing it out to us. This is something that there are hyperlinks in here, hyperlinks to fusion centers, FBI field offices, and pre-operational planning, as well as international travel alerts and warnings.
Right. Now,
this is awesome.
That
we'll
it
take
says,
a look at this.
Yeah, it was interesting. It said that the public may observe increased law enforcement security presence across your communities and public places and at events with more canine units and screening technologies. So I thought this is very interesting and people should be aware of this.
This is a good find. Wow, okay. This is a really good find. I'm looking at this now, and it was issued today.
Yeah.
This is something in addition. See, okay, yeah, without getting into a lot of detail about the information we
had. It says in December we described a new phase of the global threat environment,
right.
And then it goes on in the next two sentences later. The tragic events of Orlando several days ago reinforced this, and what in their own words is concern about violent homegrown terrorists.
Okay, they are talking about the right. Okay, not about the Islamic threat, but about the
homegrown us.
Right, us. That's right.
Christians that are patriots. I couldn't believe it when I saw this. I was willing to wait as long as I had to tell you guys about this.
Wow, this is a good find, and we'll, if possible, Rhonda or JD, if someone put this up.
It's interesting, as you pointed out, they don't list the Islamic terror threat, but they list San Bernardino, list Paris, they list Brussels, and they list Orlando, all carried out by radical Islamic terrorists.
But I love how they emphasize homegrown terrorism and to just be on the alert for more, police presence. I think they're just kind of easing us into martial law. I really do.
Yeah, you're very right. I mean, we are in a soft martial law right now with this, the police state through the Patriot Act and the ever-growing technology creating this surveillance state. And it is going to grow into a full-time martial law. With the, and I'll say it again, the healthcare digital systems that they got going.
Why did we miss this? How did we miss this?
Because I think it just came out.
We've got alerts on this. Okay.
So I wanted to say that, and then just really quickly, guys, it was so funny you just mentioned Silicon Valley. I just left San Jose, right in the heart of Silicon Valley. I'd been there 11 years, and God was really working in my heart to get out of there. And I don't know why, but I was seeing like 9/11 all the time on different clocks I was looking at, or on videos on YouTube I was looking at. I'd always stop on 9/11. And it was like a warning to me, and I've been in prayer with this. So, to God, what do? I stay here? Do I go back to Illinois where my family is? And he brought me back home in February, and I'm so grateful. I'm in a small town now, about 950 people. I'm out of Silicon Valley, out of the big city where there's really not a lot of community. But I had a question for you guys. We have small town hall meetings here in my little town, and I'm a 36-year-old single female, and I wanted to go to the town hall meetings and just kind of sound the alarm as to, people wake up, do you guys see what's going on? But I'm kind of afraid to. I'm afraid I'm going to be labeled a crazy Christian terrorist. Like, I don't know even if I should even do something like that.
Well, Rachel, I think, personally, I think... at some point we're all going to be labeled as lunatics and Christian terrorists.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you can go up to a town hall meeting and speak with not just confidence, but with speak coherently and say, right. I'm very concerned about this. Here's why. And of course, mm-hmm. If the subject is on infrastructure repairs, I wouldn't go up and, however, given if the opportunity presents itself, and even take with you, some homework. And we're working, Joe and I, we're working on some pamphlets to be able to be distributed about various topics, whether it be the Islamic threat or the other issues. So hopefully we can help you as time goes on here. I wouldn't be afraid.
Wonderful.
You know?
Okay.
We need more people like you. Thank you. Thank you.
I just love this country, and I'm so sad to see what has happened to it, and I don't see it getting any better unless Jesus himself comes and straightens it out at this point.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think we've got bumpy roads, but you know what? We still have to play our positions and play like we're still in the game we are. But we win in the end, but we still play. But Rachel, man, you should feel great because you're making a difference.
I sure hope so. But I'm so grateful that I got through and got you guys a little bit of information. I was so happy that I got through.
Yeah, well, thank you for this. And we will put this up on our website because I think this is extremely critical about this advisory. Again, I don't know how we missed it, but it just came out. And thank you for sharing it.
Guys. God bless you all. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Have a good night, Rich.
Folks, the National Terrorism Advisory System Bulletin issued today. One page. Downloadable from DHS.gov, and the duration is between now and November 15th, 2016. As you said, Joe, it implies or infers, I'm not sure which is the correct grammar, infer, I suppose, the domestic terrorist plot. And I think they're, when you read this, it's...
Yeah.
We're targets.
All right. We have... Kevin in Virginia or West Virginia.
Kevin, you're up with, as soon as Eric brings you on here because of our hi Kevin.
Hey Doug, hey Joe, this is Kevin. I called in when Greg Jackson was on. I'm the blind guy, if you guys remember me or not. I wanted to give my insight on the Orlando shooting. I think it's fake. I think it's absolutely fake. And the reason is they want to, Obama won't even come out and call it what it is. I've been sitting here listening. He can't even say the words radical Islam or radical terrorism. I mean,
yeah.
This is absolutely insane. Even if people did die, I predict your next shooting is going to be at a school. At another gun-free zone.
I
would agree with you about the gun-free zone, the soft targets. Last week I was thinking, it's been a long time since we saw a mass shooting, and I didn't want to say anything.
Can I ask you this?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Everybody keeps saying that this Orlando shooting is the biggest mass shooting the United States has ever seen.
I have to disagree,
and I have to say wounded knee.
Well, right. And do you care to educate people about wounded knee? I think it's important.
Oh, yeah. 7th Cavalry, I believe it was after Custard had died, came in and massacred a whole bunch of Indians. And I forget exactly where it was, but it was at Wounded Knee, and they massacred a whole bunch of Native Americans. And I forget what it was all over. I believe it was all over gold rights. They wanted to mine the gold in around that area. But, our federal government goes in and kills the Native Americans. What makes you think that they're not going to wind up some jihadi dude who and what's really funny is this guy worked for SG4, the British...
G4S,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. And this is the same security company that was around when 9/11 happened.
Yes, a different iteration, but G4S is a massive, one of the biggest multinational security companies. We're headquartered in Jupiter, Florida. Yeah. It's a British based company.
It's actually been shown in a documentary that he performed security details for the BP oil spill cleanup in the panhandle of Florida as well.
Yes, most... I totally agree. And I mean, I love my country, and it is a shame if people really did die, and even if they were homosexual or not, I don't care about that. These are Americans that were killed, and now this traitor in chief, this renegade in chief, this...
Are you on a party line, Kevin? Did we lose you? Kevin dropped off. Kevin, if you can hear us, look, we didn't cut you off. You dropped off. And that's the miraculous cellular technology of today. When did everyone just start using cell phones and not have regular telephones? When did that happen?
We do have some good, I don't know, well, let's on just, our end. Do you want to just take the last 13 minutes of the show without callers since we're...
Are we having an issue?
I don't know. We can try one more caller if you want.
We'll try one more. Because we did commit to open lines. We'll try one more.
All right.
Eric, spin the dial. And it comes up on Brian.
Brian in Missouri?
All right. Brian in Missouri. How you doing, Brian? It's on your mind.
Good. How are you gentlemen doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
I hear you. I was wondering if you guys could help me with something. I left the church with four walls probably about 8 years ago, and I was just wondering, do you guys know of anywhere, I have surrounded by different types of religious groups because I grew up in a religious family, and they all think I'm crazy because I believe that God will judge America for its sin and a lot of different things, but do you guys know of any networking group online I could go to try to find other like-minded people in my area? I've been listening to your show for about a year, and, you know, that's fine. I still have Christian friends, Catholics, Baptists, Charismatics, but I don't really have anybody I can truly connect with outside of people who go to more organized church settings and functions that think the way I do and believe the way I do, kind of in the same vein of, you know, listening to you guys and following your guests and listening to your guests and reading your books. And sometimes it gets discouraging because, you know, there's just no one to really truly connect with face-to-face in my area.
Yeah, Brian, that's the importance of fellowship. I mean, it's one thing to be able to be knowledgeable and to be independent, but it's another thing to be in fellowship with other like-minded people, because there you derive the strength, and the fellowship is important, Joe.
Yeah, and as far as what you can do, I would continue to search different websites. Send emails to different ministries that have people in there that are preaching the true word of God.
How do you do that? How do you find that?
You're going to have to search. You're going to have to. You're going to have to network. You're going to have to. It's going to take an effort. And if you can't, I mean, I would urge you to start your own, Bible study at your house, print flyers out, put them on cars, if you have a spouse or a friend who is in it with you, trying to get some help that way. But the word of mouth and what they call guerrilla marketing is really the only way I see people in a local capacity can get like-minded people together.
Because, see, I would love to be networked with people that are like-minded. So, I mean, if we wanted to put up a billboard or start something or be a part of something, because I just feel like there's going to come a time when the line will be drawn in the sand and everybody's going to have to make a choice. I would love to be able to already be with people that I can stand with, that I can network with, that I can organize resources with right here on the ground in my community. And look, I love being a part of these online communities, but I mean, there's just a human level where you just want to sit down and break bread and break fellowship with people.
Exactly.
You know, organize your resources, give, put up a billboard, do whatever you can to get the message out.
Brian, here's what we'll do. Just keep listening to this program. I don't know exactly how we will do. We'll figure something out. Seriously, we've got to figure something out.
Well, I'll keep listening, but that's a real need, I know. And,
man,
we're everywhere. We're on the ground. I believe there are 7,000 of us that have not bowed the knee wherever we're at in this country, and we're just waiting for not just God to bring us together online, but to bring us together on the ground in our local communities. So I'm going to keep praying and holding to that hope.
Amen. Thank you for your call, Brian.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, God bless you.
You have a great night.
You know, Joe, I just... Go ahead.
No, I got a piece of news that I'd like to hit. I don't know.
Let's hit it hard.
Everything that's been going on.
And we apologize. Whatever happened with our phones, it's on our end. It's not on Global Star. It's on our end. We apologize. There's nothing more we can do, so we're just going to move on. Let's go ahead and hit your news. Let's hit it hard.
Global financial giants look to use the TTIP to harmonize U.S. and EU laws remove obstacles to future taxpayer bailouts. A cartel of 14 U.S.
Hold on a second. Do we have an open line somewhere?
Yeah,
all
it's
right.
Done.
Thanks.
Thank you. If cartel of 14 U.S. and European banking interest is working behind the scenes to tinker with the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership Agreement and remove any banking regulations designed to avoid a repeal of the global financial meltdown that began the 2008 taxpayer-funded bailouts of big banks. The Transatlantic Financial Regulatory Coherence Coalition, the creation of which was announced on June 7, claims that it seeks to create regulatory coherence across the U.S. and European Union. They go on to say the group considers the TTIP the best way to package and enforce the transatlantic integration of investment and banking laws without going through the longer, messier lawmaking process through individual governments.
Just so people understand this, the TPIP is closely related. It's the Atlantic portion of the TPP. And just to give you an idea of the globalist initiative behind the TPP, the new edition of Hillary's book has deleted the entire section about her support for the TPP.
Yep.
Plus, the State Department has blocked the release, and you know this.
The Obama administration has blocked
Obama,
the release of the State Department and Hillary Clinton specifically, her emails on the position of the TPP until after the election is over.
Now, you tell me, where in the heck is the transparency in that? So you know this global initiative is so critical to the globalist, to the powers that are in office, whether you are Republican or Democrat. Can you imagine under what circumstance would the conservatives, self-proclaimed conservatives and Republicans in office stand idly by while this renegade lawless regime allows this to take place? The American people were getting hosed. And folks, let me say this too. The importance about the British, the UK leaving the EU. They are going to fight to their death, the globalists, to keep this EU together, including the UK. It is so critical that we can actually deliver a death blow, or not a death blow, but a mortal wound or a wound to the globalists if we assist our brothers overseas. Or if you're listening to this in the UK, and I know we've got a ton of listeners, thank you very much. Look, stand behind. Get out of the EU. Because this will set back the agenda of the globalists. We can do it. We can do it through our feet, through our mouths, and through our souls, but through prayer. We can all do this. Just go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, it goes on to talk about the, again, the harmonization of the United States and the European Union laws to make it easier for businesses, business behemoths, to carry their work out without the hassle of being confronted by regulatory schemes of the individual nation's governments. Now, what this boils down to, basically, is a way for the power elite to overcome the U.S. taking away and getting rid of U.S. sovereignty and replacing it with obedience to global bureaucrats. This is their nice way of saying that the harmonization is that what that means. What they're trying to do is, and we know through the TPP, it gives corporations the power to have their say on not only current laws but making new laws. And this is a regulatory scheme to intertwine the U.S. and the EU, basically their our laws and their laws and our economy as well as their economy, into a big globalist
the
nation.
Laws. The laws, subjugating the laws.
Yeah, economic
and this has, you know what, Joe? This has a lot to do with gun ownership, the rights, well, all of the constitutional rights afforded
to Americans.
Are you
telling me that Europeans don't? And are not allowed to buy guns?
Well, I don't know. Let me check. Hey, mate.
What happened with Paris then? How'd that happen?
But just getting back in the closing moments, so I can just if I could just say a few things. You know, with respect to Islam, please understand the threat. Please understand the severity of the threat. Please understand that we are not witnessing a migration, a humanitarian issue here. It has become a humanitarian issue only because the globalists have made it one and caught a lot of innocent people in the crossfire, literal and figuratively. Now, having said that, understand that what is taking place in the final throes of this renegade's time in office is he is dragging non-Christians. And as you pointed out a number, I mean, 2 out of 1,037.
Yeah, right? Last month there was the 1,037
right.
Syrian refugees, 10,037 brought here, Syrian
right.
refugees.
Right.
10,035 were Muslim, 2
okay.
were Christian.
Right. And if you don't think that they're using the Muslims as tools to enforce the New World globalist governance, I should say, and using them as assets, as pawns here in the United States, then you don't know history, because look at what they're doing in Europe. If you like what you see in Europe, it's coming to a town near you, a city near you, or it already has. Folks, if you care about your families, if you care about future generations, if you care about your Christian faith, and don't say, for example, well, it doesn't affect me, because it certainly does. We must understand the threat. We must not understate the threat, just as we can't overstate it. But I don't think it's possible to overstate the threat at this point. With 50 people, 49, 50, whatever the number does end up to be, dead in a nightclub in Orlando, how can we possibly understate or overstate the threat? You see, it is only through ignorance, acquiescence, or facilitation that we will lose this fight. We identify the problem, we work the problem for a solution, we pray, and we do what needs to be done. We play our positions. We act as the leaders we were meant to be. Be a leader.
Amen. We'll be back tomorrow and Friday. John McTiernan will be our guest. And we got some stuff coming up for you next week. We'll tell you a little bit about that more tomorrow. Thanks for all the callers out there and all the listeners. Thank you, Chance, from American Survival Wholesale. Todd, have a good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.